overthinking, whether it's just something that's annoying or a huge problem, it affects pretty much all of us at one point or another. And that's what we're talking about today on Imagine Yourself Podcast. We're going to give you some nice steps to overcome overthinking. Before we get to those, we'll talk a little bit about exactly what overthinking is and the different kinds. Welcome to Imagine Yourself Podcast, where we help you imagine the next chapter of life with grace, gratitude, courage, and faith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Imagine Yourself. I'm Lene, here with Sandy. And we want you to imagine yourself living in a world where you are always under the microscope. Every time you take a picture, it's posted everywhere for the whole world to see. Every time you think of something interesting, it's published everywhere. People hang on your every word. But then you begin to start to overthink everything you said, everything you did, every way you looked. Wait. Is that a pimple on my forehead? Oh, shoot. Did I give the right greeting to my fans as I pass by?
Your fans? Are you Beyonce?
I'm Beyonce, yeah.
Okay.
Am I a bad neighbor? Am I a bad mother? Am I a bad human? Should I say or do something or invent something awesome to win back the approval of myself and others? This is one sad example of overthinking. We're going to talk about that today, Sandy.
That is a lot of overthinking. You kind of stretch the imagination a little bit there.
Sounded like a movie trailer too. But here's the thing. That's only like one area of overthinking. You know, that whole concept that everybody's looking at you, and those people are not. People have their own lives, or if they are looking at you all the time, I feel that they don't have enough to do. We know that people are busy. Like you said, Beyonce, yeah, maybe they're all looking at her all the time, but basically if you and I mess up or anyone out there messes up, worst case, you gave them some kind of funny train wreck for them to witness, and they're going to forget all about it by next week when some new person slips and falls on a banana peel or says something crazy or whatever.
So, yeah.
You know, but there's other types too. There's the type of very frustrating overthinking that's kind of like in the Marvel movies, Doctor Strange, where you start thinking about all the possible outcomes and good or bad for every situation. And if you do one little thing wrong, then everything's going to fall apart in your whole life. And we really thought that we needed to talk about this today. Sandy and I realized humans definitely overthink things. Sometimes your life can just really spiral out with it. And we don't want anyone overthinking their finances and their friendships and their health and their looks and stuff like that. So overall, we are just trying to put a stop to that type of stress. We're trying to imagine a life where you don't overthink everything. So you have peace and you roll with the unexpected things and you don't overanalyze everything that he said and she said and we did. So I don't know, Sandy, what do you think about all this as we roll into this?
Well, first of all, let's assume that this is not Doctor Strange and we do not have different multiverses where we can go and live different lives based on different decisions. So let's just say that kind of like the Matrix, like we were talking about in the other podcast, what was supposed to happen is going to happen.
I love that quote. That was that what happened, happened and couldn't have happened any other way.
Way. And that's kind of like the first way to overthink.
Yeah.
Or one way to overthink. And you even said before that there are different ways to overthink. And so what I wanted to do is I got this list broken down by psychologists of the different ways people overthink. And I know you have your other list that we're going to be talking about, the different steps for stopping the overthinking. But we'll dive deeper right now just a bit into the different ways. And maybe you'll recognize some of these in yourself. So replaying past mistakes is the first one. It's kind of like what you were talking about a little bit in the multiverse example, and there's even different ways that we do that, but it's probably one of the most common. Here's another one that's big. Worrying about the future. Everybody does that sometimes, but you can really spiral out of control if you take it too far, right? Number three would be relationship insecurity. Now, I think this is mostly about close relationships, like relationship with your significant other. I have that issue sometimes with reading into things or taking things the wrong way. But when you think about it, you can read into things with anybody. Like, let's take your cashier at the grocery store for an example. Let's say you're buying something really unhealthy, sour cream and onion potato chips, and you're thinking, oh, they're probably looking at me and thinking, why are you eating that? That's really bad for you.
When she was really thinking about her own thing, you know, thinking about her. She saw something totally different. Yeah. And we can overthink that and get it wrong on top of overthinking. Yeah.
We'll make up our own weird excuse, you know, for why so-and-so was looking at us or so-and-so said something to us. Career and work related decisions. That's, you know, kind of obvious. That's one that we put heavy emphasis on a lot. And sometimes we just have to use our best judgment. Social anxiety, overthinking social interactions. And this is kind of like the cashier story too, or it can be, you know, in relationships, it's a little bit like the one before. Perfectionism is another one where we set unrealistically high standards and we start overanalyzing all the details and et cetera, et cetera. And here's one, I like this one, called analysis paralysis. And it's overthinking decisions to the point where you can't make a choice, fearing the consequences of making the wrong decision. And that can go into as a subtext on any of these other ones too. Okay, here's one. I like to do this one too. Catastrophizing, imagining the worst possible outcomes.
Yes. Oh, that's so frustrating. And then if it doesn't even happen, then it turns out to be unnecessary.
Sometimes you can really take it to levels that are ridiculous. Information overload, because, you know, whether it's through social media, watching television, or whoever you get your info, there's a lot out there and a lot of opinions out there and a lot of people fighting out there. And that can really, if you're trying to make a decision, well, so-and-so would say this. Well, I read an article that said that, but wait a minute, if I do this, I just read something else that said that. So that, and then self-criticism, constantly berating ourselves for whatever reason. So there you go. That is 10 things that we're going to talk about, and not necessarily in that order. We're going to kind of weave in and out of those and maybe even find some other ones.
Okay. How about this? In pure full disclosure, I was talking to my daughter before we started this episode, and she was kind of under the impression that we all overthink. I kind of had to counter her on that, because you can tell your opinion your way also, Sandy, but I know that I have several flaws, but overthinking is not really one of the ones that I particularly struggle with. And I think it has a lot to do with the way that I was raised. I had parents and step parents and grandparents that I lived around and lots of siblings. And if I really took time to overanalyze everything, I'd miss the whole day, you know, because of so many people. So it's like, I kind of live this way where it's like, I do what I do. I look smart, or I look dumb, or I fall down, or all my clothes fall off, or whatever. And, you know, I get back up and I live. I don't get easily embarrassed.
Ooh, that's good.
So that's really good, because I had lots of situations where I could have been embarrassed growing up, but I just kind of got over that. And I really try. It's taken me a long time, but I now really do try to just trust God for the next thing that's going to come and whatever it's going to look like. I try to be ready for the unexpected things. And like, how can you be ready for unexpected things? You just have an openness that something different's going to pop up that you didn't expect, and you don't have to overthink it as to why it happened or whatever. So I don't know. Do you struggle with overthinking, Sandy?
I think there's a couple of these that I'm pretty good at, and there's pretty good, being pretty good at overthinking is not a good thing, but I've gotten better at a lot of them. Catastrophizing, I think I talked a little bit about in the podcast before. When little things happen, I tend to blow them up into, oh my goodness, you know, like when the power goes out. Well, we won't have power for 10 weeks, you know, or something stupid, and not thinking that there are a lot worse things in the world that could be happening to us, you know, or happening to others. It's just like a minor thing, or just little minor interruptions in the day. Like you said, you're good at expecting the unexpected, and I'm better at that now. Yes. But before I could just get really thrown off by that. I have a particular way I needed to do my day, and if something happened or somebody needed something, it was always a big deal. I think the other one that I've probably been the worst at, as far as relationships, reading into things, particularly with my husband. And I think that's because he and I are so different. And what he says or does, or his actions, or let's even take him coming home from work in a bad mood. And, you know, and he's short with me. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do? What did I do something? How did I make him mad? I'm not saying that, you know, I walk on eggshells around him or he walks on eggshells around me, but I just wonder, is it a reaction to something that I did? But well, he had a bad day at work. So I'd say those two are the biggest ways. One thing that's really helped me with the catastrophizing, and I saw a quote about this. It says, instead of overthinking, no, don't overthink, overpray. So like yes. You said, setting yourself up for the unexpected, because it is. Unexpected things are and always will happen.
Yeah. And humans are not always predictable. And to be fair, this whole aspect of me getting better at it, it hasn't been perfect. I remember several years ago, I definitely was overthinking in a relationship situation. It was a friend of mine. We'd been friends for years. And I had totally put together a full-blown conversation in my brain that never happened. So I'm saying in my brain what I think she's thinking. And she wasn't even on that level at all of, you know, of frustration. I, you know, when I did really talk to her, turns out that I had just thought up a whole scenario that wasn't the case. She didn't feel that way about me. We are still friends. So, you know, so we always do need to be mindful of how far we're letting those thoughts go. You know, overall, I don't want anyone who's listening to be paralyzed by overthinking ever again. I know that some of us have been raised, you know, by parents or families to be very self-conscious sometimes, or we might be naturally wired to overthink things. Society, of course, can sometimes push us to really overthink, especially our looks and our ways and the way we present ourselves. In balance and moderation, some overthinking can be good. You know, there's accountants out there that I'm sure need to make sure that they get those numbers, you know, exactly right. But besides things like that, I put together a few tips, like five little tips that I thought would be helpful. They've helped me throughout the years. So number one, which we kind of talked about, is embrace unexpectedness. My family watches this TV show, a reality show called Big Brother. I've been watching it for 20 some years, Jen. It's always expect the unexpected is what Julie Chen, the hostess, always says. So not only expect the unexpected, but maybe even embrace the unexpected and just be ready to have to move differently when things or people do things that you didn't expect. The second one is drop the desire to have all the likability factors ticking off for all those strangers out there, whoever they are in the world. You know, you really need to focus on the people who truly love you, and you don't even need to be perfect for them. So just putting that out there. Number three, I kind of touched on it a bit, but not completely. Think about embarrassment and humor in a whole new way. Because humor can solve so many problems. If you ever think about comedians, a good comedian is very good at noticing things, societal norms and people, and they make light of it. But many times it can even be heavy subjects and real subjects, but they're able to put a dash of humor on it to make it more palatable for those of us who have to deal with life. So
yeah, no, you're right. And we don't have to be Jerry Seinfeld or who am I trying to think of?
Dave Chappelle. Yeah. But you can think of things sometimes the way that they do and let it roll off a little bit with humor and, you know, at appropriate times, of course, but humor can be so powerful in relationships, especially. My husband has deflected lots of arguments between us with a good, well-placed joke.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be well-placed because it's got to be right timing, but he really can diffuse it. And it's like, I'm over there cracking up when I was really about to like fuss at him for dropping crumbs all over the floor. Another one is hard to do. It really is. It's two simple words, but it's hard to do. Trust God. Trust God, trust your inner soul, trust that life really does self-correct over time. It's not easy. It takes time to develop. Look back at things in life where you did get through it, where you were able to trust God. It really even think back in times in life where stuff happened totally a way you didn't expect for it to, but that God took care of you and got you through it.
Yeah, that's good. Like journaling, keeping a,
yes.
or at least mental records, some way that you can recall, because trusting God, I mean, that's like the ultimate, trusting his timing and trusting that he's there, even if it doesn't seem like things are going well right now, eventually things will work out. Yeah, that's a huge one.
It really is. I mean, the sun rises and the sun sets over and over again. I hate to say this, but we have to remember too, God already knows when we're going to pass away, when we're going to die, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And so overthinking that takes away from the living that you could be doing for yourself mm-hmm. and with the people that you love. The fifth tip is kind of quirky. I just had this mental image of how we're wired very differently. And sometimes we need to be our own inner electrician and kind of do some rewiring in that part of our space that involves super overthinking, where it becomes a damaging type of overthinking. So, you know, there's so many of us who get stuck on that. If only I had, if only she had, but please remember you didn't, they didn't, it didn't, it wasn't going to. That's where you start thinking about those movie titles, some of those quotes from movies like The Matrix and Doctor Strange, or even, you remember Groundhog Day, where he
yes.
had to keep living the day over and over till he like finally realized that he had to let some of that stuff go. And that's when he was finally free from that cycle. Movies sometimes can help you.
I
more
know.
Than you think.
Those are all amazing tips. So can we list them all again? Just like an order?
Sure. Just a real quick and dirty is embrace unexpectedness, you know, or embrace the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Drop that desire to have everybody like you and just so likable, ticking off all the boxes for everybody else. Concentrate on yourself and God and those who, you know, you truly love.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about humor and even embarrassment in funny ways. I promise you, it actually has happened to me before where my clothes fell off and I just had to laugh. I was at a water park.
Oh.
And I went on some water ride and my whole swimsuit came and my brother is like, get down in the water, get down in the water. I'm like, what? I got off the ride, get in the water. And I was like, what's wrong? Your whole swimsuit just fell down.
Oh my goodness.
And the poor little lifeguard, he couldn't even speak. So, you know, hilarious now, right?
Yeah.
don't have to overthink it.
People have bad dreams about that, like they're naked in public. And so it actually happened and you survived. I can see you turning red now, though.
But like out of laughter. I mean, and I'm feeling bad. I guess I truly did feel bad for my brother and for that lifeguard and whoever else was over on the side. But for me, it was just like, oh, well, just pull it back up and get back on the next ride.
Wow.
And then the last two tips are just trust God and be willing to go in there and do a little rewiring if you need to. You don't have to overthink it, but, you know, try to get some different thoughts going on in your mind, in your space, and try to shut down when you see that it's just spiraling out in some way that, as you listen to this podcast, we know many times are unrealistic or a little over the top.
Yeah. So is it okay to overthink sometimes? It's going to be part of your life and none of us can completely undo overthinking. So how do you think we know if it's going to be a problem? Because I was reading what some psychologists said, and it literally can lead to losing sleep. Like you wake up in the middle of the night and you think about what you said in 2015 to your best friend. And now, you know, you're wondering if they're still thinking about whatever. I mean, just all kinds of scenarios play in your mind from out of nowhere. So yeah, losing sleep, there's the stress and anxiety that can cause depression.
Yeah.
So we know that we can go down a bad road from that. But how do you think we know if it's gone too far?
I think that we know that it's gone too far. It's as simple as you become uncomfortable to the point of detrimental uncomfortable. And a lot of this, remember too, when you're overthinking, it's pointing a big finger back at yourself. Like you are just the cause of everything. You are not the end all be all. And I'm not even trying to say like get over yourself. I'm actually trying to say like grace yourself. Give yourself some grace. Give yourself some understanding. Whatever it is that you said and did, like you said back in 2015 or whatever, I'm not going to just give a blanket let it go because I know that's hard to do. But I am going to say, okay, you are putting a lot of focus on just yourself right now. Let's deflect a little bit. And I'll tell you, because you and I are faith-filled, it truly does help. And like I said, I didn't always have this all laid out in a nice way, but I promise you, when I was a teenager, I went through a very difficult time where my mother was concerned that I was like about to have what, especially we call back then, like a nervous breakdown.
Okay.
And I had to get really still and really quiet. And I received a message from God that I hold with me forever. And it wasn't just let go or, let it go or, get over it. It wasn't that type of
Wasn't
message.
Elsa.
Exactly. Yeah. And let it go. It was three brief statements. I believe, I accept, I love. That's something where, of course, you kind of have to fill in the blanks for yourself. What words are you personally going to put at the end of those statements? Like, are you going to put, I believe God, I accept life, I love myself? It's kind of like a call and response type of thing. You say, God has us saying, I believe. And I really challenge you all to say, like, I believe good, godly things for my life. Then when you say, I accept myself as I am. I accept that the world has unexpected situations. I accept life has ups and downs. And that last one is the most important one. I love myself. I love my soul. I love my purpose. I love God. I love my people. I love living, even when it's not perfect, because I accept that it's not perfect and I believe that God is still in control.
Yeah.
So, in a way, those are like affirmations, but they're affirmations where you have to fill in the blanks, kind of make your own adventure
No, for
affirmation.
sure. Yeah. And then you said that when you did that, that changed your attitude from within.
It changed my attitude because it didn't change my circumstance right then. This was, like I said, I was a late teenager. So I was in college. I had to take off a year from school because my health and my mental health had gotten so thrown off. Things in my family were changing rapidly, big transitions. So even when God gave me that message to comfort me and get me back centered, my family was still doing what they were doing or going through what they were going through. And I still had to take that gap year away from school. But it gave me the confidence and the courage to get back on the horse and get back into school after the year and to start meeting wonderful people and having wonderful experiences again, which I had started to think would just not be possible. I'm telling you this from, from a place of authenticity and vulnerability. And for anyone who says, just get over it, like sometimes you're going to say to your kids, like, get over it, whatever. But instead of just saying, get over it, instead try, I believe, I accept, I love. Of course, now you compare it with the Bible verse that's pretty popular, the Romans 8:28. And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
I want you to say, like, I believe that Bible verse. Like, do
Yeah.
you really believe it? Do you really believe that even if you made a huge mistake, that God can work it together for good?
Absolutely. That Jeremiah 29:11 is another popular one, for I know the plans I have for you. Now, I think we talked about this in another podcast too. That was right before Israel fell into the custody of, was it the Babylonians?
Babylon, yes.
Hey, I can't believe I remember that.
It's about to be 70 years of pure trash, pure bad. Yeah.
But in the end, you know, things are going to work out and that God has you. But to go from such a dark place, and people do get into dark places, and overthinking can make that so much worse, because the further that you go down a spiral of negative thinking, and then it just kind of colors the way you hear what people say. They may say something that's just completely innocuous, but you take it as, oh, well, here's another reason I suck. And, you know, you just, and then it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And of course, you know, some folks would also benefit from therapy, since this can really knock people down. Therapists know how to talk you through these things and ask the right questions, because everybody's experience is going to be unique. And, you know, whatever they went through in their childhood, or, you know, whatever their particular triggers might be, or they're still carrying trauma, different things can happen. A psychologist can really pinpoint that for you. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I overthink way too much and I'm so depressed, it might be a great idea, if you haven't already, to think about some therapy.
Yeah. And I know there's wonderful places online that you can go, like BetterHelp and Talkspace. There's Psychology Today. You can look up online and they find therapists if you want to go in person in your local area. Of course, you can check with your, if you have insurance providers, things like that, to make sure. But sometimes it is not something that you're able to just talk yourself through, even with good scripture, even with good affirmations. Sometimes you need to take it to the full next level and truly get a professional, like you said, who is experienced with an array of different ways to help you and get you to the other side of where you can think without overthinking to your detriment.
Right. So, yeah. We don't want to underthink, but we definitely don't want to overthink either. And I think overthinking seems to be the problem. And we need to be mindful of the thoughts that are coming in our head and stop them when we can stop them.
Yeah. So overall, as we have been talking about overthinking and we've given tips and we've tried to make sure that everyone has a sense of grace for themselves and the knowledge that there is peace on the other side of it, I want you to just consider this. Imagine yourself saying whatever to all the what ifs and all the perfect scenarios. Imagine yourself sitting and thinking with peace, but also catching yourself whenever you begin to move into that arena of overthinking, and just allow yourself to get recentered, to reach out for help if you need it, and to remember God is with you in all your imperfections and all of everybody else's imperfections. And we are here trying to cheer you on from the sidelines.
Yes, we are. And always remember, you can contact us through imagineyourselfpodcast.com or any of our social media outlets, which you'll also find links to there. If you're listening in app and you can scroll down and give us a rating or a review, we'd really appreciate that. It helps us to shape our podcast and helps others to find it as well. Let us know how you're overcoming overthinking, or if you're still struggling with certain aspects of it. We can all be praying for each other and looking forward to talking to you again next time, when we'll have something new to imagine.